Say this, when they were singing that song, I'm glad to know this, that I know what it's like when the scripture says that he is a very present help in the time of need.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to look for him because he's already there.
Yep.
And as we said Wednesday night, a lot of times we're looking for the Lord to give us help. We keep looking for him and keep looking for him. If you're saved, he's already there.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What we got to do is we got to trust and realize, as Joanne said, we got to realize this, and I have to realize it myself. We got to realize he's going to do the work. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. Just that sometimes we get our eyes focused on a situation and a problem. I'm glad if we keep our eyes upon the Savior, we can walk on the water.
Amen.
I believe that. Y'all believe that today?
Yeah.
So if you got the book of Jude, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't got it, say hold up. I'm going to read the first three verses of the book of Jude. I might be doing some flipping and flopping back and around through the scriptures. I'm glad I won't be flipping and flopping on the Bible. Somebody say amen right there. There's a lot of flip-flopping, Brother James, ain't there?
Amen.
I know that may hurt some feelings, but it's true. And I'm glad that he's an immovable rock, and you can be planted in him today. So in the book of Jude, I'm going to read and start at the first verse, and this is what it says. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Would you help me pray? Precious God, mercy for Savior, we come to you one more time. God, I praise you and I thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for what I feel in my heart. And God, I pray today, Lord, Father, you've laid some things on our heart. And God, we want to be mindful of your will, not my will. We want your words to be preached, not my words. It takes you to do the preaching, Lord. I'll make a mess out of everything. But Father, we do know this. I thank you for your scripture. And I thank you for everything that you've got prepared. But oh God, I'm worse than a worm. God, I'm just a fleshly man. And God, it takes your power to preach. And it takes your words to touch the heart, God. And can I say this, Lord? It's resting upon my heart today. How so many times people would trust in man's words. God, we got to trust in your words. God, so my prayer is today, God, I know your word. You said your word will not go out and come back void. It'll serve the purpose that you sent it. But God, we just pray for them hearts to be receptive. And God, can I say this in my prayer? I've often realized there's many of things that I've missed in messages and preaching and times when I should have been listening. Lord, I allowed myself to be distracted or I wasn't paying attention. God, I pray that you arrest the attention of the hearers today in this congregation. And that God, they would hear. And Lord, Father, they would do according to as your scripture has said. And Father, as it's been said, Lord, Father, and all glory and honor and praise be given unto your high and holy name. And that, Father, everybody here would obey your spirit. And I believe, Lord, if they do that, they won't leave lost. And they won't leave disappointed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading with us and praying with us. And my heart is centered upon where Jude called it a common salvation. A common salvation. I have been wrestling with some things for quite some time. And sometimes I get kind of narrow-minded in some things. And sometimes I get kind of nitpicky in some things. And they was singing a song last night, and I get real nitpicky on things that's supposed to be biblical and spiritual. And the biggest person I'm supposed to be nitpicky with is myself. Somebody say amen right there. It's real easy to get nitpicky in somebody else's life, ain't that right? You know that's exactly right. But we need to be more centered upon our walk and our life with the Lord and to be a help to them that is our brother and sister. But my heart has been centered on this common salvation, the salvation that the book of Jude was speaking of. He says, I wanted to write unto you of this common salvation, but he wanted to exhort us to earnestly contend for the faith. And can I say this? The faith that we should be earnestly contending for is the result of a common salvation. And can I say today that though we have a salvation, it being common, common simply means that it's free to anybody. Not one person owns salvation. Not one person can get it. Nobody else can get it. It's not exclusive to one individual. The Bible says that when God gave His Son, He gave His Son to the whole entire world. It wasn't just, does it matter? I've heard some people say that it's for just the Jews and not the Gentiles. That's wrong. I've heard some people say it's just for the Baptist people, nobody else. That's wrong. I've heard some people say it's for the Jehovah's Witness and nobody else. That's wrong. But the Bible says it's a common salvation. It's a whosoever will believe in Him, allow Him, and He'll save your soul. But can I say today, my heart's been kind of troubled in 2016 and just the times, I would say probably before this year, but there's some things that kind of bothers me when I look out and I hear and I see the way that our country and our state and our local communities have gone when it comes to this common salvation. And I thought about these things and I thought, Lord, how on earth are we going to be able to preach upon this common salvation? Well, the first thing he wanted me to let everybody know is that things being common, things being mutual, things being together is something that God wanted and God has wanted and has been trying to give to man ever since the time has began for us. The Bible says even when he made man, he saw that it wasn't good for him to be alone, so he gave him a helpmate. Somebody say amen. And can I say this today? We all need the help of our brothers and sisters, and we mostly need the help of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 44, after they all had believed, they were together and had all things common. That means they had a common goal. They had a common belief. They had a common desire and a common onset and a drive to do and that which the Lord wanted them to do. You've heard it preached here a lot here lately They stuck together. They clung together. They realized it was the common goal of not just one or two in the church, but it was the common goal of the church to seek and to save those people, or to seek and to seek those folks and to preach to them the gospel that they, the Lord is seeking to save to them that which is lost. It's the common goal of the church. It should be the mindset of everyone in here that has been born again, to make a difference in somebody else's life and to share the gospel. Now, can I say this? It's not just by the words that you say unto them, or it's not just a pamphlet or a tract that you hand out to them, but it's the very life that you live in front of them says a whole lot more than anything else could be said. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 4 and verses number 31 and through 32. Here in Acts chapter number 4 we find where the Bible was after Peter and John had went to the temple to pray. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verses number 31 through 32. The Bible says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And the place when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. You hear that, church? They had one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that ought the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They didn't care about what they had. They didn't care about what was in the house. What they cared about was being with one another. Amen right there. And this is the reason why that God laid some things upon my heart. I got to thinking about back in the Old Testament when the Bible speaks of when they had put stop to rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the wall. The Bible says that the children of Israel, when they stopped to work and they used all their materials and all the things that they had gathered up and began to work on their own houses, and they had stopped doing the things that God wanted them to do. They wasn't working together for a common goal and a common thing. Here in the book of Acts, we find where God sets it back straight, and it's been set straight. Set straight back in the heart of the believers and them of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they had all things common. And I thank God for them common things. In Titus chapter number 1, verses 1 through 4, the Bible speaks of a common faith. In hope of it, the Bible says, Paul, the servant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Can I say this today? There it is, a common faith. It is a faith that is shared amongst the believers. It is a faith that where God has been given. The Bible said that God had delivered a measure of faith to all men. And here in the book of Titus, the Bible says that Paul was saying that through and by the preaching of God's word, that faith comes. Paul said in Romans, faith come by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And a lot of times people says, well, I don't like preaching. I like the other things associated with church, but I don't like the preaching. Well, friend, we have a problem there. Or women, I should say, you have a problem. Not my. I don't have the problem. I love the preached word. I love it when the preaching's hot. I like it when the preaching's easy. I like it when the preaching's exciting. I like it when the preaching's calm. I just love the preached word of God. Anybody hearing this preacher? I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't like them preachers that are all up in your face. I don't like them preachers that just stand there and they don't do nothing because they make me go to sleep. Hey, you don't have a problem with the preacher. You have a problem with what's being preached. That's exactly right. And can I say this today? If you have been born again, if you have been truly saved, if you have truly come through the blood of Jesus Christ, if spiritually you went by Golgotha's hill and stopped at the cross of Golgotha and Calvary, I'm talking about the cross where Jesus died upon. Spiritually you was taken there and spiritually you was changed. I'm telling you, you've had to heard the preaching of the gospel. You've had to heard the preaching of God's word, and that faith was given to you in your heart and you believed in it and shut out, and it's a common faith. There ain't never been not one person ever been saved without that common faith. Somebody say amen. There has not been a person ever been saved without the preaching of God's word. Some people say, preacher, what about them people in the Old Testament? What do you think Jesus was doing for 3 days and for 3 nights? Somebody say amen right there. I mean, the preaching of the gospel. The Bible said it pleased God through the preaching of the word. It pleased him through the foolishness of it to save them that would believe. The apostle Paul says, I am now ready and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the righteousness of God unto the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's revealed through and by the preaching of God's word. And it's a common faith. I've often heard people say, well, I just don't believe it. Like you do, I believe like somebody else. Well, I'm sorry, friend. You have to believe it because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You said, preacher, well, you thought you was going to preach on a common salvation. I'm going to preach on a common salvation. But I got to get this groundwork to let you know there's some things that's common in life that not a single one of us has our own little thing, have our own little corner. We don't have our own little special set of circumstances. Because not only is there a commonness amongst the church, not only is there a commonness, a commonplace amongst the faith that is preached, but there's also a common nature when it comes to sin. Somebody say amen right there. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, and that in chapter number 10, the Bible says in verse number 13, therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above, and that which you're able will, with the temptation also make a way to escape, and that you may be able to bear it. I've heard people say sometimes, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. But I'm telling you this tonight, you might, or this morning, you may hear I am getting flip-flop on my days and evenings. And some people might don't realize this, but Brother Don McCurry, there's no temptation that's going to hit your life. It's not going to hit my life. I mean, it may be in different circumstances or in different places, but it's all the same thing. Somebody say amen. I've often heard people say, preacher, I've been tempted this way and I've been tempted that way, and I just can't figure out why I've been tempted. Well, I know the reason why God's tempting me with this and God's tempting me with that. But can I say something today, friend? God does not tempt any man with evil, nor is God tempted with evil. But every man is tempted and drawn and enticed of his own lust. That is exactly right. I've heard some people say, well, preacher, I just don't understand why the things are the way they are. I just believe that God has made a special plan and made a path for me. Well, there's only one problem with that, friend. The Bible said there's no temptation taking you that is not common unto man. That means the things you face is the same things that I'm facing. Can I share something with you? I won't get into the details. At one place and one spot in my life, about I don't know how many years ago, I'm a driving, I'm a telling you, I got hit with something that was not my fault. I got hit with something, but there was a temptation that was stirred up from the inside of my flesh. Y'all hearing this, preacher? And I'm telling you, I felt like I had the every right to take out my gun and go blow some man's head off. And I'm sitting there trying to justify it. I've had preachers tell me I'd be justified and do it. I've had other people tell me that'd be okay and do it. But as I'm driving, Brother Randy Spinney, God whispered in my ear. He said, Jason, there's no temptation taking you that is not common unto man. I want you to listen to this real good. If the Bible says it, that settles it. And that means it's settled in heaven. We can't give in. We can't throw up our hands and say, well, it's just me and I'm just being weak. No. The Bible says with every temptation, you've got to offer the way of escape. And if you fall into the temptation and don't take the way of escape, friends, you've come short of the glory of God. You've sinned and you need God in your life. Is that right? I've often heard people say, well, preacher, my situation's different and my circumstance is different. Oh, no, it's not. You ain't doing nothing else that ain't already been done. Or you ain't doing nothing else that ain't going to be done again. Somebody say amen right there. I've heard people say, well, preacher, this is going on and that's going on. Can I stop right there? I'm going to squash some things that God's laid heavy on my heart. I've heard people say, well, preacher, since Jesus came, the Bible says all are under grace. The grace of God, which bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men. So therefore, since Jesus took out the law, I can live any old way I want to. Y'all hear this, preacher? You know, there's lost people that believe that, but there's people in the church that say the same things. Now, I didn't say they were saved because that's not a common salvation. I'm going to get to the common salvation. Hey, if Jesus came, he did not do away with the law, but he came and he fulfilled the law. Somebody say amen. That way, in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4, he could stand up and boldly say, I have been tempted in all points like you are, but yet I was without sin. Amen. There's your way of escape from the sin, friend.
Jesus Christ the righteous, the one who was made sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God. You can't have an excuse. What you've got to have is a Savior.
Amen.
The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points, and so many people don't realize what's going on. Y'all just stick with me. We're going to get to that common salvation. Because oftentimes I've heard people talk about, well, you know, it's easier to ask God to forgive me than it is to ask God for permission. Ain't that a Baptist motto? Somebody say amen right there. But can I tell you this today? Sin is so destructive, and sin will destroy your life, and sin will rob you of everything you've got. It'll take the things from you that you don't think it'll take from you. You might think a little bit of here and a little bit of there, and it'll tear you up. I was standing here, and I about broke down crying. I about had my friends and family to just quit right after the message, right after the service. Had a young boy come up to me, and I hadn't seen him in quite a while. We began to talk, and I asked him, how's Mama's doing? He said, Mama took off. I ain't seen her in a couple weeks. And tears began to fill up his eyes. I said, what's going on with you? I said, you know, you can come back to church. I said, we'll love you. He said, I know where Mama's at. Said, she ran off with some boy, and they're doing things that ain't right. Can I tell you this? Some people say, well, I'd never do that to my kid. You dabble in the sin, and you don't take that way of escape. You give it to them temptations. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. You'll be scared. You'll be troubled. That where that stuff will take you. I've had often people tell me, said, preacher, you're just being too mean. You'll run people off. Hey, if you run out of here and never come back again, you cannot stand at the end and say that nobody ever told you the truth and told you what was right by the Bible. Because the Bible said with every temptation, there is a way of escape. Don't get me wrong. I know the depths that alcohol can take. I know the depths that drugs can take. But my Bible tells me there's not a drug. There's not a bottle. There's not a joint. There's not a cigarette. There's not an adultery. There's not an idolatry. There's no fornication that's stronger than Jesus Christ. All power in Romans 13 says come from God. And the powers there that is in this world, they didn't get their power unless it come by God.
Amen.
Bible said in Romans chapter number 3, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Sin's common, friend. It's in your life, it's in my life. If it wasn't for salvation, James Powell, I don't know where I'd be today.
Yeah.
I never forget this. I remember, and I never try to say too much about my life. I don't want to glorify sin. But I remember at a 12 o'clock, quarter till 1, on a Friday morning. I didn't come home after work was done. I went somewhere to have myself my own time. And when I got home, there's my wife standing at the door with two kids and pregnant with the third. And she looked at me and chewed me out for about an hour or two. And Brother Ron, I did not want to hear the chewing that she was giving me. And she finally let me pass out. I didn't cheat on my wife. Don't y'all look at me funny. I wasn't saved, but I wasn't cheating on my wife. I just wanted to do my own thing. I thought I still had my own life. After we got woke up, she nudged me and was getting ready. I wasn't feeling good, sick to death. Sin's got a penalty that comes within the price and gets paid to my say amen. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. But Jeff Cummer, she looked me square in the eye and she said, if you think I'm going through one more day like this again, she said, you're sadly mistaken. I'm fed up and I'm not living my life this way. And I tell you what, something got a hold of me deep down in the depths of my heart. All them times I went to church with her, I didn't want to go. All them times preachers preached at me, I didn't want to go. I finally had a wake-up call, and God told me, he said, son, you're going to die lost. You're going to die without your wife and your kids. Your life's going to fall apart because sin's taking you farther than you were willing to go. Sin will kill you. You can sit in this church. You can have your name written on the church roll. You can have the day, the time, and the view, and the spot memorized. But if you don't have Jesus help you out with your sin problem, it'll kill you. If you don't do something with sin, sin will do something with you. It will kill you. When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. That's for everybody. Some people say, well, I'm saved. You might be saved, but you ain't got no power over sin.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen right there. Which brings me now back. Bible says, Galatians chapter number 3, verse 22, but Scripture hath concluded all under sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Amen.
And I want to say this, and you may get mad at me and never come back, but some of you is blinded right now because you don't think you've got sin and you've deceived yourself. Like it, lump it, lip away from it. You still got problems because you won't acknowledge the sin.
Amen.
You said, preacher, do I have to acknowledge it to you? No, I can't save you. I can't forgive you. You don't repent to me, but you do have to repent towards God and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Some of you here, this may bother a bunch of you, but if you don't think you've got sin, the Bible says you deceive yourselves and the truth is not in you. That's not Jason Faulkner's word. Go to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8. But thank God he doesn't leave you there. He says, but if you ask him for forgiveness, he's just and faithful to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But if you say you have not sinned, you lie, and his word is not in you. Can I say this today? As I look at this common salvation, which is in the book of Jude, as we said, there's a common way there is in the church. There's a common faith that God preaches and gives. There's a common temptation amongst all men, and there's common sin amongst us all. We all need a Savior. We all need a way of escape. But we have to have this common salvation to get it. But can I tell you all something? This common salvation is actually uncommon. I thought about this. I was thinking about the curb appeal. I talked to them realtors at times, and I work with some realtors, some people that does it on the side. They talk about, well, what you need to do is you need to put some mulch down. Need to put that sidewalk in, clean it up, plant you some trees, get rid of the mess around the house. You know, get that curb appeal how it looks. And I got to thinking about it. Sometimes I've went through some of these neighborhoods and suburbs. Anybody look for a house? I think everybody's pretty much looked for a house adult-wise. I remember going through some of them neighborhoods, and I'd go up and I'd look, and I'd be, man, that is a gorgeous house. It is so nice on the outside. I mean, all the things that show up on the outside. I mean, the driveway's nice. I mean, the garage is nice. I think the mailbox is probably worth more than my pole barn. I mean, it's just some nice places. And me and Tammy's more about to do it than I am. She said, well, go ahead and go look in the window. Of course, I ain't going to do it. I think I'm a peeping Tom or something. But we'll get out and we'll go look in the window. And I'll go in them nice, fancy houses. And I'll look inside and they're empty. There's no furniture. There's no nothing in there. On the outside, they look so great. They look so good. They look ready to go. And everything's ready to, everything's all fine and dandy. But on the inside, there's nothing inside. And I thought about this, and God nudged me a couple nights ago and began to work on my heart how so many people have dressed up the outside. They make it look so good on the outside and it's so appealing. And they try to ease your thoughts and ease your mind. But while they're trying to ease somebody else's thoughts and mind, they're trying to ease their own thought and their own heart, trying to make everything all right. But the insides, there's nothing on the inside. You said, preacher, why would you preach something like that? Because there's a difference when somebody's living on the inside and when there's nobody else, or when there is nobody at all on the inside. I was reminded of the scripture when the Bible says that when the spirit is gone out of a man, the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. The Bible says that he goes out and searches for a place of rest and findeth none, but come back and finds that house swept and garnished, but it's empty. There's nobody in the house occupying the house. The lights are on, but nobody's home. And that unclean spirit goes out and finds seven other spirits worse than itself. And they go into that house. And the Bible says, this is what Jesus said. He said, the end of that person, the end of that man is worse than his beginning. Now, can I say this today? And going, you may look at me and say, well, preacher, you're judging. Preacher, you're judging me. I'm not judging you. I'm giving you what the scripture says about this common salvation. Because my Bible tells me there's much more to a common salvation than looking good on the outside but having nothing on the inside. Because Jesus specifically spoke in Matthew chapter number 23. He says, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you present yourself a whited sepulcher, but the inside is full of dead man's bones.
Amen.
He says, what are you Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites? Because you wash up the outside of the cup and you wash up the outside of the platter, but on the inside it's full of excess and distortion. How we went to Frisch's yesterday and we hit the breakfast bar, and how we went, me and Levi went to the breakfast bar. Somebody say, man, felt something on the breakfast bar. We get right there and I look at the first plate And the people from the dishwashing, they come out with their cart. The cart's nice and clean. Everything's looking proper. He's got the shirt on right. He's got the hat on right. He's got the apron on right. He takes the clean dishes out and sets them where at the front of the breakfast bar. And y'all know what I'm talking about. But when I get to that breakfast bar, and I get to that plate, take the first plate up, on the outside it looked clean. But I looked, and it was covered with stuff in the middle of it. I set that plate aside. I said, anybody don't get that plate. I grabbed the next plate, and on this side it was all nice and good, and I flipped it over. But on the back side there was dried food and everything still left on it. I kept moving plate after plate after plate after plate till I finally found a plate that was clean. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? So many people sometimes says that I feel right. I think I'm doing okay. I'm right in my own eyes. I'm clean in my own eyes. But you never, ever was really washed. The Bible says that we all need to be washed from our sins. We need to have Jesus living on the inside. Salvation is common, but it's not like everybody else can get it. It's not a survey. I saw a man stand there and said, who does not want to go to hell? And everybody raised up their hands and they didn't want to go to hell. He said, who all wants to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand to go to heaven. He said, good, say this prayer and then you're saved. That's not how it works. You're not answering a survey. You're not buying an insurance policy. There's something that's got to take place in the depths of your heart. This common salvation is uncommon. It's not given by a man. I like what the preacher said Friday night. He says, I can't save you. And you know how many people has based their salvation upon the preacher? Brother Jason saved me. Brother James Powell Jr. saved me. Brother Jeff Curry saved me. We can't even save ourselves. This common salvation is only through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I like the scriptures, and it's Bible, it's true. And they like to use the scripture that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's exactly right. But the Bible goes on from there and says, how can they call upon somebody that they don't know? How can they hear about it unless it be preached? Yeah. And how can it be preached unless it be a preacher? You don't just wake up and make a decision. You don't go up and just mark your name in the box. You don't fill out a card. You don't just take the survey. There's something more. You don't come into the altar and get saved because mama got saved. You come to the altar and get saved because the person that saved her will be the same one that will save you if you'll let him. You said, preacher, what are you fired up for? Some of your all spaces come before my eyes. And sometimes my heart gets broken. I've watched some of you, God, deal with your heart. I've watched where God's moved upon your life. I've seen things be taken away from you. Your health's gotten bad. You've got lost things financially. And you can't figure out what's going on. And so you want people to pray for you. But when the things might come off of you, your heart hardens like Pharaoh. And you say, I'm not going to trust God. I'm not going to trust God. But since I go to church, and since I go to Mount Zion Baptist Church, and since I know brother so-and-so, and sister so-and-so, don't I get that common salvation? Pharaoh, all them signs and wonders were shown unto him, did not bring him closer to God, but he hardened his heart towards him. And after a while, God said, you want that heart hardened? I'll harden it for you. People said, preacher, that's scary. But I'm telling you, it's true. I don't know why God put this on my heart. I don't know why God's saying preaching this. But I do know this, it has to be preached. Even I have to hear this and remind myself where it is spinning that I ain't no better than anybody else. It's a common salvation. Hey, I don't have the upbringing. I don't have the pedigree. I don't have the stock. I don't have the name that is associated with church and the Lord. But after he saved me, I got it all. Hey, amen. He said, not by the will of the blood nor the will of the flesh, but it was by the will of God. And the Bible says that we have to have this common salvation. Oftentimes people don't understand it and people can't get into it. You said, preacher, why is it so hard? I've looked out and I've talked to folks. Now this may be kind of hard for some folks to swallow. But salvation, when I got saved, there was something that moved inside of me. When I gave the example of the house that looked good on the outside, there was something better. The lights were on and there was somebody home on the inside now. Because the Spirit of the Lord moved into my life. Jesus and the Father, God, moved and took up their abode in my life. And since that happened, Brother Randy Spinney, there was a change that took place in my life. Now, I know some people, we preach it, and I preach it too. For the Bible says, "For there, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And sometimes people get accused, and preachers and churches get accused for preaching that a whole lot. But can I tell you this? It's true. Because some folks have confessed salvation, but their life has never changed. The everyday life is just the same as it was before. And the only thing church has become is something they got to make sure they do on Sunday morning. And the rest of the days and the rest of their time is spent doing the things that they want to do. Oh, my friend, that's not a common church. That's not a common faith. That's a common temptation. That's a common sin that is associated with an uncommon salvation that God does not give out. Oftentimes, I was talking, and I realized this with the Lord. And oftentimes, people say, "Well, you might hurt people's feelings. You might tell them something that might bother them." Remember, we all ain't the same, preacher. And no, we're not. You don't have to act like me. You don't have to sweat like me. You don't have to be as loud as me. Hey, I've heard preachers that stood there, Brother Scott Strunk, and they had the power of God on them when they spoke. Somebody say amen right there. If you've heard it, you ought to say amen. I've seen sisters of the Lord stand up and give testimony, and they not get all crazy and wild, and I felt the power of God on them. But just because I have doesn't mean that I've never felt the power of God when a single woman swallowed out like a banshee because she got overcome and she got stirred up by that common salvation. It dwells in the depths of her heart because it made a change in her life just like it did the other person. And so many people think, "Well, hey, you know, it's just a common salvation. We can live and act any old way we want to. I'm going to heaven just like everybody else." Well, the thing I got to ask you is are you? Are you? You said, "Preacher, things has been going good. Things has been going real good. But there's one thing that ain't been going on. Conviction has been poured out upon people's lives. A conviction has got to go to people's lives." And I said, "I'm not going to take nobody's glory or take away the glory that somebody can give to them. But there's people been saved here recently that ain't spent as much time underneath the preach that's went on in this church as other folks has have. And Brother James Powell, that concerns me." Amen. It should concern you.
Amen.
He said here about this common salvation. He said, "Preacher, what's the difference about common salvation?" Well, the difference is, for many are called, but few are chosen. Just because you've been called doesn't mean you're saved.
Yep.
The Bible says that there was a parable that Jesus gave of the rich, of the king who made a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out the invitation to all. And the Bible says they began to make excuses. When they began to make their excuses, why they couldn't go, why they couldn't be a part of it. Bible says he turned from them. Don't be that one.
Amen.
Don't be that one. He turned again to invite the lame and the halt, the highways and the hedges.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that he supplied the guests for his son's wedding.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there. And he said there one appeared at that wedding feast that didn't have his wedding garment on. And he said, "How is it you got here without having your wedding garment on?" Well, he doesn't say this, but if I had to think, he'd probably say, "Well, you know, I came with the rest of the crowd."
Mm-hmm.
"Well, you know, you did call me about 15, 20 years ago. I just figured I didn't have to respond very promptly. I thought I could live my life, wait till the end, say, 'God, forgive me.' You know, you're supposed to forgive me, and I get to go to heaven." That's not how it works.
Yeah.
The Bible says he looked at him and said, "Bind that man hand and foot and cast him out in the outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." For he says, "For many are called, but few are chosen."
Amen.
Who's the chosen ones, preacher? The ones who've answered the call.
Amen.
Some folks try to take that doctrine and change it and say, "Well, it means somebody else." The ones that were chosen was the ones that had answered the call. When the call came in, they answered it. Praise God, if you answered it. You should say, "Thank you, Lord, for calling me. And thank you for answering. Let me answer the call." Few are called or few are chosen. But what happens is a lot of folks don't want to answer the call. They want to answer the call the way they want to. They want the answer machine picking up. They want somebody else to just hold your horses. Let me do it a little bit later. I got my life to live. I got other things I want to do. And they don't want to surrender and submit. But my friend, my Bible tells me in Matthew chapter number 7, it says, "For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few be there that find it." It's not straight as in straight this way. It's straight meaning that it's narrow. That means you can't bring nothing in with you. You can't bring your sinful life. You can't bring your sins. You can't bring your regrets. You can't bring your family. It's only room for you and you alone. You've got to leave it all behind you and come to Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many will be there in that." Oftentimes I've looked and I thought about this. And I want to get to the end of this. This is where actually God showed me everything. And He wanted me to preach, and He gave everyone this other stuff at the end. As we were sitting last night and this morning. If you want to follow along, go to Acts chapter number 16. I don't know if this will make any difference in your life or not. But I do know this, if you'll believe it and accept it and move to it, it'll change you. It'll change your life. You can't just say, and don't get me wrong, I used to be the same way, I'm not throwing off. But country boy religion don't get it.
Yeah. Bless you, preacher. That's right.
I've had the trucks, I've had the Fords, I've had the Chevys, I've had the Dodges. Listened to the country music, had it blaring, Just because I believed there was a God and I was a good old boy and didn't mean no harm. I watched Dukes of Hazzard. I was country to the bone. As Barbara Mandrell, some of you don't know who Barbara Mandrell is. I was country when country wasn't cool. But country don't get you to heaven. Cowboy boots don't save you. Cowgirl boots don't save you. Don't think I'm throwing off on men now. But it takes a salvation that's uncommon to the world, but it's common to the church. In Acts chapter 16, we have the story of Paul and Silas in the jail. Most of us know the story. You can read it for yourself. An earthquake came because they sang and praised the Lord at midnight. When they'd done that, the earthquake came and shook the prison doors open. Here we have the Philippian jailer who was supposed to keep the men fast. Keep them in the midst of the prison and in the dark, away from any help. Can I say this? It would be do the devil nothing better more than to have you bound up in the dark and never see the light.
Amen.
They'd rather have you locked up in your... And I tell you what, he'll use your own blinders, he'll use your own mind, and use your own ropes. But as long as he keeps you locked tight and under out away from the light and from help, he's happy. But can I tell you something? No matter how dark it is, how deep it is, and how rough it is, God can get there. Somebody say amen. God can get there. You might be in an emergency room somewhere, in an ICU room somewhere. You might be getting ready for the worst thing you've ever faced. But God is still there. And this is what happens. They prayed. The earthquake. The cell doors opened up. The Bible says in verse number 27, the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. And would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in. And he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And verse number 32 said, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." Verse number 27, down to verse number 23. Verse number 27 down to verse number 32. There's some things that happened to that Philippian jailer. It's got to happen to you. And it's happened to me. First, he was awakened. Friends, you're going to have to wake up and see your need of Jesus. You ain't going to make it on your own. You can't keep asking the church to do this and do that. Don't get me wrong, I want you to keep asking. But it will not help you in your end. You're going to have to wake up and see your need of Jesus. See your depravity. See that you have no hope. And that without God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, we had no hope. We were aliens from the commonwealth and the promises of Israel. But through and by the blood of Jesus Christ, we were made close. We were made nigh. You have to see your need of that. Secondly, he called for a light. Friends, you're going to need somebody. You're going to need something to show you something a little bit more clearly. That gospel light that they talked or they sang about. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. You'll never see what you need to see. You'll never have eyes to look for it. You'll never have eyes to realize what's going on unless there's a light sprung into your life. Thirdly, he trembled. If conviction has never gripped your heart, friends, you're in a dangerous condition. Y'all hearing this, preacher? If conviction has never gripped your heart, you're in a dangerous condition. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I just chose Jesus. Well, I understand that, but why'd you choose him? Because so-and-so said so. What did God say so? Did he deal with your heart? Did he speak to you? Did he nudge you? Well, preacher, I've seen in the Bible, I don't see it happen that way. Blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road heard about Jesus coming. What did he start doing? He began to cry out, cry out, cry out, cry out. Why? Because he could feel something coming his way. He could feel something different heading his way. And he knew he needed help. He knew he couldn't see. He knew he was in darkness. And he heard about Jesus. This Philippian jailer, not only did he tremble, not only did he ask for the light, not only was he woke up, but he fell down. He fell down on his knees before those preachers. And he fell down. Why? Because he had nothing else to hold on to. You know why some of you ain't saved and why some of you can't get a better life? Because you will not let go of the things you're holding on to. And God can't help you because you're clinging to something else besides him. That's exactly right. This man finally let go and he fell down. And when he fell down, he asked, what must I do to be saved? Just because he asked what he needed to do to be saved didn't save him. The scripture says that Paul and Silas went to his house and preached the gospel to him and to his family. Let me ask you this question. Do you have the common salvation that the world has? Or do you have the common salvation that God gives? Is it based upon anything else other than that cross of Calvary and the empty tomb? Is it based on works? Is it based on something else? Well, preacher, I had an experience. I had one too. My experience changed me. And it changed my life. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he that hath begun a good work in me shall perform it until the day of Christ, to the day of Jesus. That means every day, Don McCurry, he's a working in me. Yes. Working in me. Is he working in you every day? He said, preacher, I like him. Woo! I like those times. Hey, I do too, friend. But the only way you're going to get them is if you have the salvation that God gives. Amen. If you're saved today, if you're saved today, it's between you and the Lord. Some people say, that preacher makes me doubt. If I can make you doubt your salvation, you're in worse condition than what I've been preaching. God saved me, Michelle, and no man can take it from me. Amen. No man can take it from me. And if I doubted it, and I have, Ron Combs, you know what I did? I got on my knees. I was woke. I broke down. I fell down. I asked God, God, what's going on? That preacher preached this. I got stirred. What's going on in my life? What's going on in my life? And you know what happened every time I done that, Eddie Combs? He said, well, Jason, here's this sin you've been messing with. You need to get it out of the way. Some of you look like you. Some folks is happy and some folks is sappy right now. And I'm not trying to be obnoxious.
I'm telling you, don't get mad at me. You need to ask the Lord what's going on in your life. Because there's a whole lot more God wants to give you. But you got to be in common with Him. Have you trusted in other things? Is there sin in your life right now? Is everybody paying attention to this preacher? Huh? Is there things in your life you know that's not right? And you're trying to justify them? Is there things in your life that you've been buried and says, well, I just let them, time heals all wounds? No, it does not. It just makes bigger scars. He that covereth up sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Proverbs. Friend, do you need Him today? Saved, lost, everybody alive.